She had got very fat of late, which didn't improve matters. But Patty seemed to see nothing amiss. He strode forward to take his sister's hands, beaming. What a dear fellow he was, thought Father Rafe, as he watched the little scene, half amused, half detached.
Well, Mary, how fine you look, like a young girl.
In truth, she looked almost exactly like that famous photograph of Queen Victoria, taken not long before she died. The two heavy lines were there on either side of the masterful nose. The mulish mouth was set indomitably. The slightly protruding and glacial eyes fixed without blinking on Maggie. Father Rafe's own beautiful eyes passed from niece to aunt and back to niece again. Mary Carson smiled at Patty and put her hand on his arm.
You may take me into dinner, Patrick. Father de Bricassart will escort Fiona, and the boys must make do with Megan between them.
Over her shoulder she looked back at Maggie.
Do you dance tonight, Megan?
She's too young, Mary. She's not yet 17, said Patty quickly, remembering another parental shortcoming.
None of his children had been taught to dance.
What a pity, said Mary Carson.
It was a splendid, sumptuous, brilliant, glorious party. At least, they were the adjectives most bandied about. Royal O'Mara was there from Inishmurry, 200 miles away. He came the farthest with his wife, sons, and lone daughter, though not by much. Gilly people thought little of traveling 200 miles to a cricket match, let alone a party. Duncan Gordon from Ochuiska, no one had ever persuaded him to explain why he had called his station so far from the ocean, the Scots Gaelic for a seahorse. Martin King, his wife, his son Anthony, and Mrs. Anthony. He was Gilly's senior squatter, since Mary Carson could not be so called, being a woman. Evan Pugh from Brechypwyll, which the district pronounced Brechypull.